Hello and welcome to Tony Broome Ministries. What a joy it is to be able to teach and preach God's Word. Our session this time is entitled Being Filled with the Spirit. Scripture commands Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our golden text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we are filled with the Spirit, we have an exciting life. Life may not be exciting all the time, but when your spirit filled, there is a spirit of praise and worship. You have a joy in your heart. You have a song in your heart. Be filled with the Spirit. It causes you to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're about scripture, psalms. You're about hymns, the foundation of your faith. You're about spiritual songs, songs of praise and worship that has life. Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. A spirit-filled life is indeed life. It has nothing to do with death and darkness and sin. It has to do with life and salvation. The spirit-filled life is a life of Christ. And to be filled with the Spirit, it causes us to have a life that is not filled with grumbling and complaining. The children of Israel grumbled in chapter 11, the book of Numbers, because they didn't have sufficient food to eat. They didn't have enough water to drink. They didn't have meat to eat. Moses talked to the Lord about it. The Lord told Moses to gather him 70 people of the children of Israel, the elders, and set them about the tabernacle of the congregation, that he would come down and put the Spirit of God upon them. So Moses, he goes out, he tells the people the words of the Lord, and he gathers the 70 men, the elders of the people together, sets them around about the tabernacle. And the Lord comes down in a cloud, and he speaks unto him. He took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. God gives the Holy Spirit. He delights in giving his people the Holy Spirit. It came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied. God tells us in the New Testament, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power, and you'll be witnesses unto me. The Spirit rests upon these men, and they prophesied and did not cease. And they went on for a while. That's what it was talking about. Of course, they didn't go on forever, but they went on for a time. That's the way the Spirit does. You praise and you worship God, and you have this time. There were two men of them that were written. They were in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad. The name of the other, Medad. It's amazing how these two names went together. The Spirit rests upon them, and they were of them that were written, but they went not out into the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. Doesn't matter whether you're in the camp or whether you're in the tabernacle, the tent, whether you're in your home with the rocking chair by your bed. The Holy Spirit knows where you are, and he is able to touch your heart and life wherever you are. There ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. You got to stop them. You got to do something. Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Does this bother you? Do you have a problem with it? I would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Acts chapter 2, it happens, just like God said it would. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Truly this is what Pentecost was designed to do. It's what it is and what it still is all about today. Well, they got excited about it, and some of them got troubled about it, got a little perturbed about it. What's going on here? Peter said in verse 16 and 17, Acts chapter 2, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is just that what Joel was talking about in his prophecy, that God would pour his spirit out upon all flesh, not just the Jews, but Jew and Gentile, red and yellow alike, black and white, everyone from all parts of the earth, for you, for your children, to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. He has been doing so ever since the day of Pentecost. Spirit-filled lives. What is it like to be filled with the Spirit? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they that gladly received the word that Peter was preaching, they were baptized, and the same day there was added to them about 3,000 souls. This is a good start. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, in prayers. So they continued praising God, praying, and eating together, and having communion together, and worshiping and fellowshipping. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They were fresh on the heels of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They were more concerned about the needs of others than they were about the needs of their own self. And they were not as tight and attached to their positions and possessions as we are now. They did not say that the things that they possessed were their own. They belonged to God. And that's the way it is when you're saved. When you are born again, everything you have belongs to God. Your house, your money, your cars, whatever you have belongs to the Lord. So they had a spirit of giving. When you have a spirit of living, you have a spirit of giving. When you have a spirit of giving, you have a spirit of living. The spirit-filled life is a life of giving. It's a life of excitement. And even though things don't go well all the time, you still doesn't change anything, because your excitement comes not from the things of this world, but things that are greater than this world. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The spirit-filled life is a life of salvation. We should be seeing people come to Christ, not conforming to the culture of the day in which we live, but we should certainly deal with things as they come up. But the spirit-filled life is a life, the spreading of the gospel, the sharing of the Great Commission. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all people, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You can get too much of that. But be filled with the Spirit. Can't get too much of Him. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Get a song in your heart. David said, He has put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have a spirit of thanksgiving. You're thankful for everything. You're thankful for the blessings of God upon your life. You're thankful for the food that you eat. You're thankful for the fellowship that you have. You're thankful for the family that you have. You're thankful for those brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, and the church all over the world, not just the one you go to. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You can do that much more effectively when you're filled with the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Not just saying, I'm a Christian, not just having your name on a church roll, not just signing a card or shaking a preacher's hand, but living in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Spirit-filled unity and service. It brings us together, causes us to serve God, just like they did in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 4, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. It brings you together in unity. Nothing else does it like the Spirit of Pentecost, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preaching of the blood, the preaching of the cross brings you together in one accord. Jesus prayed that we would be one, even as He and the Father are one. He prayed for our unity. Salvation brings you together as one in the family of God. They were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught or anything of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This provided a way for the effectiveness and power of the gospel. Many people were saved, and many people were healed and delivered from demons and devil oppression and possession. Because the gospel had freedom, of course. It had free way to be able to work. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I don't know that they could have kept that up forever, but that was God's way of doing things in the beginning. And if it worked then, it can work now, because you say, well, what if people sell what they have? What are you going to do then? Well, there's other disciples who will come. There's other people who will be saved. Other people who will do what they did in the beginning. It's like when you leave, someone else comes and takes your place. So the same way here, other disciples are raised up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that our sufficiency is of ourselves. It's not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. It's not about us. It doesn't come and originate from us. God makes it about us. He loves us. He sent His Son to save us. He cares for us. He takes care of us. He makes it about us. But it's not about us. It's about Him. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Life in God through Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit who gives us life, and we have life through Jesus Christ. A Spirit-filled life is a life that God wants every believer to have. Being filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, you have to have the Spirit. And to have the Spirit, you must know the Father of the Spirit. You must know the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have to know Christ. My prayer today is that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and you have made Him your Lord. He will gladly fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit today. Being filled with the Spirit is an exciting life that God has for you. He's waiting to give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? Being filled with the Spirit has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.